Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you into Christian Worldview this morning. This is Dr. John Coben. Currently 48 degrees here in Greenville. Going to get up to a high of 68 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Glad you've joined us. Hope we can help you think a little bit better today. For those of you who are realizing now that our signal's just not quite as clear, what's going on, Dr. Coben? Well, guess what, folks? Yesterday we had an upgrade on our signal. We were able to get to 50% further range and so forth. And this morning, it had to go back to the old system for a day or two. And so temporarily you had a little taste of what would happen for our increase in power. And unfortunately, we had to back down to the old level for this morning. And hopefully by tomorrow morning, that'll be all different once again. So anyway, stay in tune. This week we have lots of upgrades going on at the Tyranny Response Network. Glad that you can participate in that and be a beneficiary of that. So if you have a question or comment for the show, make sure you do give us a call at 864-244-8177. If you can't get through on that line because sometimes it's been giving us a little bit of trouble, be sure to try us on the old line, which is your alternate line, 864-201-6955. You can also send your questions and comments by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. We do want to encourage everyone to go to the policyofliberty.net website. There you'll find great stuff, not only all of my articles, past and present, current, I should say, under the section or the link called Articles and Papers, but you'll also find there all sorts of information about liberty. For instance, there are quotations that are just wonderful quotations from the Founding Fathers and others and that are just a pleasure to read. We also have a section on famous economists and links to their great works, famous free market economists, as well as a few others like Stonewall Jackson, Thomas Jefferson, and others. Make sure that you visit the site to see those things. On the main page of policyofliberty.net, you have our Liberty Minutes section. You have a number of items there related to different stories that have happened in the Times Examiner that I published in the Times Examiner. All food for thought, all there to help you think better. All that can be taken and put on your MP3 player or simply put on your computer desktop and played there either in the comfort of your home or office. Let us be the station or the network that helps you start your day, think throughout the day, and improve your understanding of the scriptures and a public policy theology. That's what we're here for, where we want to help you do that. Christ gives us a charge to edify the church, so do the apostles, and part of our ministry here and our efforts are to edify the Church of Christ. Now, we're glad for the rest of you or for others that are listening who are not Christians, because we think it's important that you listen too, because the Christian worldview is something that you can get a hold of and is something that's important. Christians are not all silly, dumb people who simply follow after the Pied Piper, although looking at the Republican politics, one might think such a thing to be the case. Instead, Christians have historically been some of the greatest thinkers ever. And you can see that simply by looking through the pages of history and finding out the religious convictions of different people. Many of the founding fathers, if not the vast majority, were believers, were Christians, and they had some great things to say. Well, the faith that they had, the Christian faith they had, propelled them on to do to make the advances that they did make and the achievements that they did achieve. And the Christian faith is something of an encouragement rather than something that retards intellectual fervor and strength and vigor. So we want to encourage you who are listening to the show, who simply listen because you love liberty, to stay tuned in, because the Christian aspect of this should be something that you have a different take a different tact about or a different view of after you realize just how different intellectual Christians can be. So appreciate you listening. Also want to encourage you who are non-believers to accept Christ. Why? Because no matter how right we are about economics or about liberty or about our understanding of political philosophy, there still is a day of judgment coming. There still is a time in which you will meet your Maker. And yes, indeed, you are a creature like all the rest of us. And you are, in fact, tainted and full, as we all are, of the venom of sin because we disobey God frequently. And if you turn to the Savior Christ and receive Him as Lord and Master, you will indeed obtain eternal life, because that's what the Scripture promises you. That's the great hope we have, and the blessed hope we do have in the future is that Jesus will come again and rescue us from this place called earth. But in the meantime, we occupy, we go forth under the banner of truth and righteousness in order to serve people and to edify the church and to try to make our world the best way, the best we possibly can through our to the transforming agent of the gospel and true wisdom and knowledge. That's what Christian Worldview is all about, and we're glad you've joined us here this morning. Okay, back to a couple of other interesting things, or some interesting things going on today. We have a number of very good stories. Missed the American Institute for the Constitution last night. I wasn't able to attend due to a conflict, but Tony Romo, Pastor Tony Romo, writes this morning, "Good morning, y'all. What a blessing. Thanks to everyone such a wonderful meeting last night. Even though I lost track of time, the follow-up questions and discussions relating to the video were good and quite thought-provoking. Please feel free to express your thoughts as you learn more about the Constitution. Any questions about what was said in the videos in our discussion are also welcomed and encouraged." Well, I appreciate Tony writing that in, and that was a great meeting last night. It sounds like the meeting I attended the week before was also very stimulating. And thoughtful Christians, especially those who are just pondering, well, what's the big deal about the Constitution? Please go to this meeting and find out exactly why. It's held at South Point Baptist Church. That's 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. It goes on every Monday night, and the fifth meeting will be the following Monday night, the 9th. And it goes from 6:30, where there's some informalities, until 7 o'clock, and where the program starts, and that continues till 8:30. If you want information, call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information or to register. That's 864-269-1443. The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. We also want to give a plug for our good friends at the Times Examiner once again. Call Bob Dill at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. Or pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville. This week's going to feature my final segment on Christian Views on Rebellion, Part 7. The grand finale of that 7-part series that's been going on for a while now. Hope you have a chance to read that series. And if you didn't have a chance to read it, remember, under the Liberty Minutes section of the policyofliberty.net homepage, you'll be able to find a reading of all 7 of those pieces in one 46-minute audio segment. Hope you have a chance to listen to that, especially prior to attending the Institute on the Constitution, because I think that just goes hand and glove that whole program there. Anyway, the Times Examiner features not only my columns, it features columns by other local favorites such as Ben Graydon and Stephen Yates, as well as some the Sheen family homeschoolers. They're there. And the nationally syndicated columnists are just fabulous. Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Pat Buchanan, interesting to read at times, and many others that Phyllis Schlafly, Joe Sobrin. It's well worth the $25 a year for the subscription for this thing. It's $27 a year if you live out of state. Again, give Bob Dill a call at 864-268-0576, and he'll get you all set up with a subscription. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And here's something the researchers at TRN sent up to me that I thought would be quite interesting to read here online. It's from Reverend R.J. Rushdooney, who, of course, was recently passed away, but was one of the most famous theonomists of the 20th century and also, I suppose, of all time. Very intellectual, very scholarly person. And he wrote a little pamphlet called Bread Upon the Waters, Columns from the California Farmer. At any rate, Fairfax, Virginia, Thornburn Press, 1974. It looks like page 12. Suppose we want to create a social order for the welfare of thieves and for the security. How shall we do it? The world must be made safe for stealing and for thieves. Of course, we must therefore create a social order in which the thieves can steal, but where no one can rob a thief. Next, we must make stealing respectable. Simple, obvious, and direct theft involves robbing a victim personally. Indirect theft means hiring someone else to do it. Legalized theft is getting civil government to do it for us, and this has been the most respectably has the most respectability and prestige. So our thieves must have it. To make matters all the better, our legalized theft must have the prestige and approval from economists and experts. And that what can better qualify than managed money which is debased and inflated? Inflation is a simple process. It is what happens when a dishonest farmer adds water to the milk. Past a certain point, it ceases to even be watered milk. It's simply milky water. But fortunately, the inflation of money is respectable and legal in our thieves' paradise because the thieves are in charge, not the farmers. Another highly respectable device in our thieves' paradise is taxation. God, of course, is content only with the tithe, but any self-respecting thief knows that a sucker must be taken all the way. Is taxation past 40%? Well, the chicken is far from plucked. In our thieves' paradise, respectability is important, and so the churches, schools, and colleges are important. These institutions can tell the people how moral stealing is, and how welfare must precede property, and human rights are more important than property rights. Is there anything more wonderful for a thief than a world in which the good people are persuaded that it is their duty to be plucked? Moreover, why not add to this numerality of thieves' paradise the idea of a world union of thieves to avoid wasteful competition? After all, it is the duty of all good thieves to concentrate on plundering the people. This is a common faith all thieves can unite on. Why not unite then into one grand world order dedicated to the promotion of plunder on a world scale? Of course, one big roadblock remains. God somehow is not caught up with the times and is hopelessly out of date. He still insists, "Thou shalt not steal." Such an obsolete and antiquated morality, and this very dated God, must be gently done away with. If we say, "Thou shalt not steal," it applies only to the citizens who must not steal from thieves. The thieves' state is beyond this law, and, as for God, we can declare him dead. All problems are now taken care of except one, as Pilate and the Sanhedrin found out at once. God is very uncooperative. He won't stay dead, and he does make trouble for all self-respecting thieves. Times have changed, but God hasn't. It makes for quite a problem, but not for God. What an excellent piece from R.J. Rushdoony on the Chalcedon Foundation. You know, so many Christians today are shocked when they hear me, the Tyranny Response Unit, saying that taxation is theft, and anyone who practices taxation is no different than a thief or a robber or a mugger. The thugs that run government are no different than the criminal that enters your home. Oh, but there is clearly, Dr. Coben, there's a difference, the response comes. What is the difference? Well, 51% or better of the people voted that they'd be able to steal. Well, so what? If the act is immoral, it really doesn't matter how many people vote for it, folks. That doesn't change the fact. Would Christians or others likewise say, well, 51% of the people vote for abortion, and therefore it's okay? No, it doesn't make abortion okay because 51% of the people vote for it. If 51% of the people vote for public education and government indoctrination centers, does that make it okay? No, it doesn't. Voting has no bearing whatsoever on the morality of any particular action. Now, if you're a secular humanist, it somewhat does. They actually believe, and if you take hardcore political science, they believe that the will of the people somehow emanates the truth. And so they try to force people, everybody to vote, for instance, some places like Australia and Chile, if you're registered in Chile at any rate, you have to vote, otherwise you get fined by the government. Why? Because they believe that the massive psyche of the mass of the citizenry will produce the truth and the best and optimal results for society. So they actually believe that some kind of morality can come out of a mass vote. Those of us who hold a Christian worldview should not believe such nonsense. We hold that there is a moral standard that is absolute, that is unchanging for all time. And stealing is wrong. It doesn't matter who does it or who approves of it. It's still sinful and evil. How many Christians have I run into, however, that says, look, this is the United States of America, love it or leave it, this is where we were born, this is the government that God placed over us, it's a democratic system, even though it's actually a republic. But at any rate, we're just going to say whatever people vote for is right and good, and we need to accept it and go on our way. That's what folks are thinking. They're wrong. This is not a Christian worldview. It's in the Christian church, but notice, just because someone's in the Christian church doesn't mean he has a Christian worldview. Many Christians, unfortunately and regrettably, have a materialistic worldview or a humanistic-based worldview, not a Christian worldview, even though they go to church every Sunday. How sad, how tragic. Part of our objective here at Christian Worldview, as you know, is not only to make you think better, but to dispel these myths, these false ideas that have come down through decades and decades of indoctrination and folly that has been allowed into the church. And try to dispel that and move Christians back to a biblical position on political philosophy, a biblical position on ethics and morality, and on economics and other subjects as well, which there is a great dearth of knowledge and a lot of misinformation. Well, at any rate, great article on the thieves' paradise. Appreciate the research staff sending up that excellent article for us. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles,
and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here's some article sent up by the research staff called Flattered to Deceive, posted on WorldNet Daily yesterday. It says, it's no surprise that the less intelligent and less informed you are, the more likely you are to get your news from local television. After all, you're not likely to learn much about the world from the constant repetition of crime, weather, sports, and human interest. Unfortunately, this opportunity to look at 24-hour news with in-depth coverage has been badly squandered on those originally offered by television itself, which was once seriously viewed by some as, for some early optimists, as an educationally beneficial medium. While I have no doubt that there are plenty of children learning new things every week from watching Desperate Housewives, I don't think this was exactly what those academics had in mind. Skipping through the article, it says, for all their popularity, the editorial shows are not much better. Ann Coulter could be guest on both the O'Reilly Factor and Hannity and Colmes every night for a year, and one would not learn one-fourth as much from the experience as one would from reading one of her books. It is quite common, of course, for TV talking heads to write books these days, since publishers have discovered the concept of transmedia synergy, although this merely conceals the fact that very few of these TV pseudo-intellectuals have either expertise to share or anything significant to say. This is why the Rush Limbaughs, Bill O'Reillys, Al Frankens, unlike the polemicists of yore, only write two or three books, often with a ghostwriter, before discovering that they have run out of steam. There are a few exceptions, of course. Ann Coulter's books are not merely controversial, they're also substantive. Paul Krugman's pop economics books do educate the reader, even if the education is outdated and increasingly inaccurate theoretical model. But I do not know if there has ever been a time when so many people have known so little while considering themselves so well informed. Most people would agree, I think, that newspapers offer a generally more substantive medium than television, and yet on Saturday, Maureen Dowd of the New York Times complained that the new Iraqi government was being ruled by men rooted in the sort of conservative Shiite religious politics that will not produce a new dawn of equality for Iraqi women. In an effort to sound intellectual, she instead provided inadvertent hilarity. The bad news, this is not an Iraqi government that will practice Athenian democracy. Indeed. Tonight, why not consider turning off the low-wattage cable dialectic and, in the words of Flavor Flav, read a book and learn your culture. Only then can you begin to wake up. And this was talking about, Vox Day says he's a novelist and Christian libertarian. He's a member of the SWFA, Mensa, and Southern Baptist Church. It's been down in Madden since 1992, wherever Madden is. Didn't know where that was. Anyway, I'd love to hear from Christian libertarians, and I couldn't agree more with with his comments. I think he's absolutely right. This is precisely the problem with the Christian church. We are TVized. Some people come into my home and wonder, well, why don't you have a television? Isn't it strange? Even some of my family members have tried to coerce me into or jawbone me into accepting a television into the home. Well, it's not so immoral all the time. You can supervise it, and you can get the kids to not watch things, or they're old enough now where they won't see bad things. The point is not merely the immorality that goes on television, folks. It's the total waste of time of having these idiots. I don't mean to put people down here. It's not a good Christian worldview to put people down by saying such things. Forgive me for that. For having these people on the air who are vastly ignorant on the main subjects of which they are speaking, talking and educated me, or if they are educating me, filling me with lots of liberal positions only without any recourse to other points of view. I'd much prefer to read a liberal's writings, because there you can really trap him in the fallacies of his logic, than listen to a carefully crafted television editorial. And I don't want to hear folks come back and say to me, oh, but Dr. Coben, there are good conservatives on the air. Who? Like Bill O'Reilly, this neocon? Or how about the radio waves like Rush Limbaugh? I'm sorry, folks, these are not true conservatives. They're certainly not libertarians. They are somewhere way off on the left, towards the left's end of this of the political spectrum, not interested in being preached to by these people in their own forum. I don't give the preacher that much time every Sunday, although I probably every week, although I probably should. Glad to give the preacher in the church his 2 or 3 hours at me every week, but to sit there in front of the talking heads or to be educated on how life really is by watching the relationships that go on in these sitcoms and whatnot is absolutely preposterous. Now, you may say, well, isn't it entertaining to see once in a while one of these CSI things or these detective stories? Yeah, I think there's some value in getting entertainment now and then, and if that's all the television was turned on once in a while for an entertaining show without these silly commercials that go on in between them, I don't have any moral issues with that. I just know that the propensity of man is to do as this article describes, to end up starting with that bait and looking at these entertaining shows and then adding another one and then another one. And then pretty soon, as friends of mine have borne witness, the television becomes a friend and a preacher that exists in the home for 3, 4, even 5 hours every day. I don't need that in my house. If I'm going to be a Christian who's ahead of the curve, a Christian who's thinking, a Christian who is one who is standing firmly for the truth and knowing the truth, I need to spend time reading stuff. I need to spend time writing things. I need to look at internet sources for information that are alternative to just the main media. That's where I grow in my faith and understanding and reason, not from watching the television. The television is just a total waste of your time. Anyway, now I'm on my soapbox. Since he brought it up here, I thought it was an excellent article that that was written here by this Christian libertarian, Vox Day. Don't even know who Vox Day is, but if he's a Christian libertarian like me, I'm glad to have his acquaintance through this, and he certainly has given us a good piece with food for thought, perfect for the Christian worldview show. Well, here's another a couple of pieces of news here before we end the first half hour of Christian Worldview today. Feinstein is promoting law to guard cold medicines. In Fresno, California, Senator Dianne Feinstein, one of our favorite liberals, right, joined law enforcement authorities Monday to generate support for legislation that would put non-prescription cold medicine, which can also be used to produce methamphetamine, behind the pharmacy counter. Ooh. The California Democrats' Combat Meth Act of 2005 applies to common cold medication like Sudafed or Tylenol. This is full war against methamphetamine, Feinstein told an audience that included several law enforcement representatives. The bill faces strong opposition from representatives of the drug industry who argue it would put too many barriers between a sick person and a legitimate form of relief. It would also take pharmacists away from their jobs and force them to police pseudoephedrine sales, critics argued. The legislation, co-sponsored by Senator Jim Talent, a Republican of Missouri, would also limit each buyer to purchasing 9 grams or 366 30-milligram pills in a 30-day period and would set aside grant money for drug treatment and other programs. Who needs to buy more than 300 pills a month, Feinstein asked, addressing industry concerns that legitimate consumers might be harmed. The methamphetamine epidemic that we face today is the number one challenge to law enforcement. This year alone, 850 labs have been seized in the state of California, Feinstein said. According to a 2001 estimate by the Drug Enforcement Administration, 80% of the country's meth comes from Mexican drug cartels. Fresno's Republican Mayor Ann Autry was also endorsing Feinstein in this effort. So the Republicans are getting behind this drug regulation. Anything Dianne Feinstein does, I think you can pretty much in general, she or Barbara Boxer, just vote against it and you'd be doing the right thing. And this is the ultimate left end, it seems, along with Ted Kennedy, as far as you can get in politics. Anyway, interesting to know what they're up to with these drug issues. And if they would just not criminalize the stupid things, so we would probably have so much less government. Well, obviously we would, and less law, less hassles with prisons and so many other things that go along with the bad effects that come from this ridiculous war on drugs that we have. At any rate, that's been a subject of past shows. Won't bring it up too much here today. Unless callers want to talk about it, be happy to hear your phone call today. If you're interested in calling the show, 864-244-8177 or alternate line 864 201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Be back shortly.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. Currently 50 degrees in Greenville, going to get up to 68 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Should be a beautiful day. One of our researchers sent me up an interesting web page, santacruzindymedia.org. It's the Santa Cruz Independent Media Center, a very hard left center, and it's interesting to read some of these articles again and see what the left is up to. For instance, here's May Day 2005 in Santa Cruz. On May Day 2005 in Santa Cruz, the Wobblies marched from the Tom Scribner statue to rally at the clock tower. Rabble-rousers played guitar, sang, and spoke about the past, present, and future of the labor movement. Speakers and singers included Faith Petrick, Fred Hirsch, whatever else, all these other names, fellow worker Will and Brian from the Santa Cruz General Membership Branch of the International Workers of the World. After the rally, we marched down Pacific Avenue. We gained support of many onlookers and chanted, "We don't need the bosses," or as we chanted, "We don't need the bosses need us." For better or worse, there were more people than wanted to watch the Wobblies then could fit into the main dart room of the Poet and Patriot at the campus, apparently, there. So here we have, folks, International Workers of the World, communism still alive in Santa Cruz, California. The actual thought of the Marxian ideal of we don't need the bosses need us, that we unite all workers against the capitalist threat, is still alive and well. Of course, this is all false. It's against the Christian worldview. This is based on a materialistic world or ethic that is simply false. Also going on in Santa Cruz, looks like the U.S. soldiers are resisting the war in Iraq. By putting my weapons down, I choose to reassert myself as a human being. Interesting comments that come from the hard left here, who actually aligned with us here on the hard right, if you want to call us that, who also opposed the war in Iraq for very different reasons, of course, most of the time. Said Camilo Mejia, the first U.S. soldier to actively resist the Iraq war. The former U.S. Army staff sergeant went AWOL in October 2003 while home for two-week leave. It wasn't until March 2004 that Mejia turned himself into military commanders and filed for discharge as a conscientious objector, becoming the first Iraq war veteran to publicly challenge the morality of the war. In 2004 May, he was convicted of desertion and sentenced to 9 months in the brig. Having recently been freed, Mejia is now speaking to her on the West Coast and will visit Santa Cruz on Wednesday, May 4th. Okay, good. So the left's picking him up. I would be a conscientious objector as well. I would have to admit that. I would never start fighting to begin with. So it's interesting, that phenomenon. Not that we are any way leftists here, just that once in a while, even leftists get a couple things right, maybe for different reasons, and we hold to it. They also have an anarchism conference, or Anarchism Now conference, going on at UC Santa Cruz, University of California in Santa Cruz. On May 7th, the University of California Santa Cruz Anarchist Research Center and the Center for Cultural Studies will host a one-day conference and conversation exploring the contextualization of contemporary anarchism. Organizing questions will include: how can we think adequately about anarchism's place in the current social justice movements, and what resources does anarchism present us for addressing the current moment? What is it about the current conjuncture that resonates with anarchism? How might anarchism be part of repoliticizing the academic left? Interesting. Now, here again is another term or an idea that's been hijacked by the left. Actually, Karl Marx did this. Some of you who don't know really a lot about Karl Marx don't realize that he ultimately was an anarchist. His vision of the world started at different stages, that there was no God, but somehow something like nature predestined different stages. After you went from an agrarian world, you then moved on from the agrarian world into a form of capitalist or industrial production. And during this industrial production, there was a great deal of alienation between the worker and the boss. And therefore, the bosses were eventually be overthrown, and into their place, after their property confiscated and no one has the rights to have profits anymore, a strong central government would step in, who would actually redistribute the goods and guide the people into paradise, which the Soviet Union and China attempted to do. And we saw what those things were like. Of course, the left never claims that those were adequately well done events, and that's therefore they failed, not because they weren't right theoretically. Well, after the central government has been in place for a while, Marx's next stage in history is to move to an anarchy where there is no government whatsoever, where people live once again in a paradise on the earth without restraint, without force, and after people are completely stripped of their religious ideas and the opiates which would hold them down, they can then live in a wonderful world of peace and harmony and joy in this present earth. It's a very post-millennial vision, believe it or not, without God. It's a godless post-millennialism, a leftist post-millennialism. Interestingly enough, as Murray Rothbard wrote about some of these people in a very excellent article on Karl Marx as a post-millennial eschatologist. You can find that at the Ludwig von Mises Institute site if you're interested in going and reading an academic piece on post-millennialism from an atheist perspective, if that makes a lot of sense. This is what we see here in Santa Cruz going on. Anarchy, however, is not necessarily a leftist doctrine. In fact, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to have a little bit more to say about this whole idea of anarchy that's been hijacked or is being used by the left here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN,
and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And one of our researchers actually sent me a note this morning, regardless of the fact that this happened to those on the opposite end of the political spectrum, that is the left. The actions of our police are a reflection of our government. The University of California, Santa Cruz, cracks down on 10 State University. 18 people were arrested and spent the night in jail after riot police stormed the site with a warning from school administrators. They were subjected to pain compliance and chokeholds. So these people promoting anarchy and Marxism were treated this way, and further inflaming their martyrdom sort of mentality as they go forth with their crazy doctrine. But at any rate, can't blame them if they don't have a Christian worldview in the sense that they are being logically consistent in carrying out their ideas. Can blame them because they're wrong, and they deserve what's coming to them in the sense. On the other hand, if we're going to live in a society that's pluralistic, that we don't force people to obey by the Westminster, abide by the Westminster Confession or the London Baptist Confession or whatever else we choose, there's going to be some kind of plurality, then we probably have to extend that beyond the frontiers of just the Christian faith. In other words, not just allowing a Baptist to have freedom of religion and Quakers and Methodists and so forth, but also allowing those who have no religion to have liberty and live here in peace. Now, some people might question that. No, we can only have certain amount of religious liberty, only Christian-based religions. Well, that's a whole issue for debate. I don't know how you can justify such a thing in terms of what we envision here and under our government with the Founding Fathers, requiring people to be saved or requiring people to be hold to externally to a Christian faith does not seem to be very virtuous or very useful, I guess, in any civil society, and certainly isn't congruent with the principles of Christianity and witnessing and the things that we're supposed to do for extending the kingdom to make true converts of people, truly change their hearts rather than get external conformity. But at any rate, a whole other subject. I wanted to talk a little bit more about this anarchy issue. I address this in my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, and I hope you all get a copy of that book if you haven't got one already. You can go to the Alertness Books link on the policyofliberty.net website and order a downloadable copy for a few dollars or the hardback or the paperback copy for $11 on the web. At any rate, the whole idea of anarchy is one of a fascination for people who study public policy, political science, economics, and so forth, because under an anarchy, you don't necessarily have chaos. That's the second dictionary definition. The first definition is simply the absence of government, or the absence of any formal collective force or structure to help organize society. When this occurs, you have an anarchy. Well, people naturally assume, and often fallaciously, that if you don't have a government, a civil government, you'll have chaos. And they go hand in hand. No government brings mayhem and chaos and misery. Actually, the opposite has been true in history, if we consider states at any rate. No matter how the bigger the state, the more bold and brazen the state, the more chaos, mayhem, destruction of property, killing, and so forth that we get. Quite the opposite of what we're led to believe. While I'm certainly not an anarchist, and I think the vision of the Founding Fathers, a republican form of government, is the best thing we can have, because a limited state, or limited government, and not a state, a limited government brings for us many benefits that we would not have otherwise had in the world, including collective defense, justice, and so forth. Once it goes into becoming a proactive state, which controls our behavior, which seeks to control behavior in a big brother role, or which seeks to redistribute our wealth by confiscating from one class of people or one group of people and giving it to another group, and becomes proactive in actually trying to run industries and becomes a private enterprise imbibing state. Once these things happen, we no longer have the benefits of pure government, and in fact, anarchy becomes more and more not only plausible, but, well, maybe not plausible, more and more desirable. In fact, the bigger the state, the more difficult it is for anarchists to even have a voice, as is the case in Santa Cruz, no doubt. Now, their vision of anarchy, you see, is far different than a vision of anarchy, which would say, the Marxist vision, I should say, is different than a vision that would say, look, anarchy is not a good thing as far as not having any particular political organization ruling us, but it's a whole lot better than living under Stalin. In other words, if you're given a choice today, go down and mark your ballots, either Mao Zedong or Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler or Fidel Castro are going to take over the government tomorrow and organize society as they see fit according to their principles. Check yes if you want this, or check this box if you want that particular form of government. Or your other option is anarchy. No government at all. Every man for himself. The only rules will be local rules enforced in families and in churches, and there will be no superstructure. You say, well, these are both bad options, bad choices. Well, perhaps that's true. But which one are you going to pick, folks? I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to pick Stalin. You're not going to pick, if you do, you're being foolish. These guys were mass murderers that murdered millions and millions of people, far more than could have died under even the most imaginative Wild West film about the anarchic Western United States, 100 years ago or 200 years ago, or 150 years ago at any rate. Anarchy is not as bad as totalitarianism. In fact, it's not as bad as most governments. And some people will say, well, Dr. Coben, what about today when tax rates are so high? Would you prefer anarchy over George W. Bush? And I'm here to tell you I would. Why would I rather have George W. Bush even? Now, some people say, nah, you've gone too far. I mean, anarchy, that's really going to bring lots of grief on society. Well, let me tell you, folks, George W. Bush is also bringing grief on society. We don't have federally mandated abortion policy or privilege under anarchy. There is no federal government. There's no way for it to control us. I'd rather have a system of anarchy where at least in the local community we can raise up our own standards of morality and maybe even have a state like South Carolina uphold the principles which we hold dear to the vision of, the founders and the ideals of liberty. I'd rather have that than have a federal bureaucracy controlling my life, stealing from me to the rate of as much as 50% of what I earn, property taxes which are extraordinary, and rob me of my allodial rights and land. I would rather have that. I'd forego all those so-called benefits of having George W. Bush, his regime, and all the other things, if I could just if I had to have anarchy. Now, it's not ideal, but I'm talking about choosing between two bad things, and certainly I'm going to choose it, and you all should before Stalin. And I think if you think about it a little further and what this government does to you to destroy your liberties, to take away your rights, to take away your money, you'll see that even anarchy is better than living under the current state of affairs that we have. Now, I know that's a shocking thing for some of you to hear this morning. You hadn't thought that deeply about something, but I think if you really consider it a little while further, you're going to see the veracity of this. Limited government, as envisioned by the founders, is a special thing. It is one step removed from probably the next best system, which might even be anarchy. Yet nevertheless, it is a rare thing and very difficult to maintain. The founders knew that. Those of us here at Christian Worldview need to promote that kind of limited government, shocking people by putting in perspective what they really face in relation to something like anarchy is a great way to do that, to get people up there thinking about what the great vision of the founders was and why we need to install it again. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're trying to do that here at Christian Worldview today. You know the word palter means? It's an intransitive verb. It means to talk or act in an insincere, deceitful manner. Or secondly, it means to haggle. So talking or acting insincerely, deceitfully, or haggling is to palter. Add that to your vocabulary. We'll try to add it to ours here. Appreciate our research staff scouring the dictionary to help us find good words in English that we can improve our vocabulary with. Here's another story about a pioneer of Christian happy talk by Brannon S. House. This is at worldviewweekend.com, just recently appeared. To attract the largest followings possible, and because they have bought the lie of the new tolerance, many America's churches, Christian publishers, and Christian radio stations, whether they know it or not, have rejected biblical Christianity and adopted a more popular but bogus gospel of Christian happy talk. As a result, churches brim with converts committed only to their personal self-actualization. Publishers lavish feel-good pabulum on their readers, and their airwaves ring with an emotive rendering of Christianity that would fit nicely alongside the corruptions of faith Jesus chides in the second and third chapters of Revelation. Interesting. Skipping on through his article, he says, "I don't think anything has been done in the name of Christ under the banner of Christianity that has proven more destructive to human personality and hence counterproductive to the evangelism enterprise than the often crude, uncouth, and unchristian strategy of attempting to make people aware of their lost and sinful condition through advertising." Interesting. Man's deepest need, the will to self-worth, but the truth is the man's deepest need is not self-worth, but forgiveness of sins. That is indeed the Christian worldview. Jesus soundly warns, skipping towards the end of his article, warns of punishment that awaits those who add or take away from the scriptures. He notes that we would be better off to tie a millstone around our necks and jump in a lake rather than doctrinally deceive children or those that are new to the faith. Alas, Christian happy talk has become very profitable, but then what will it really profit anyone to gain the whole world and lose the soul? He's the founder and president of the Worldview Weekend and author of One Nation Under Man, The Worldview War Between Christians and the Secular Left, which is to be released by September 1st under Broadman and Holdman Publishers. Interesting comment, and I think he's, of course, correct, that his thoughts, of course, do not apply to the Christian Worldview program or the Tyranny Response Network. That's what makes us such a shocking show, why people will actually listen to us and think deeply about issues in a different way than they're led to believe by the Pied Pipers of the media or the moguls in the politician world that have rather political power base and structure. These are the kinds of things we fight against. These are the kinds of things we expose So I appreciate them pointing out that the airwaves and Christian publishing houses are filled with this other nonsense. Try to get a book published as an evangelical and one who loves liberty and free markets. You'll find how difficult it is to do so. Unless you're really well known as a famous pastor, or unless you're some kind of a scholar that can get this Christian happy talk out there, they're not interested in publishing you. You need to go on your own and publish. And there are very few publishing houses which would even consider publishing works of people that are truly thinking Christians. At any rate, here's a couple other articles, like A Scud in a Bucket. Here, this is came from WorldNet Daily. Former CIA chief James Woolsey affirms the work of special commission investigating the threat of a nuclear bomb-generated electromagnetic pulse attack on the U.S. by rogue states or terrorists, and is urging the country to take steps necessary to protect against the potentially devastating consequences. The Scud in a Bucket nuclear EMP threat characterizes in intelligence circles, he said, as a scud in the bucket. This is a simple ballistic missile from a stockpile somewhere in the world. Have you seen these stockpiles somewhere in the world? This is interesting. I mean, I've been in a lot of different countries. I don't drive by necessarily a yard full of, you know, scuds or anything, just thrown out there in a heap. It's kind of what they make it sound like. Anyway, this is a simple ballistic missile from a stockpile somewhere in the world, outfitted on something like a tramp steamer and fired from some distance offshore into an American city or to a high altitude, thereby creating an electromagnetic pulse effect, which could well be one of the most damaging ways to use nuclear weapons, he said. Woolsey commended the commission to access the threat of the United States from EMP attack for its years of work in the subject and for its dire report concluding that it is a means of attack that could lead to the defeat of the United States by a much smaller enemy and utter devastation of the country. That is a very serious threat, he told the committee. It could possibly knock out, for example, the electricity grid. Moving on to his article, he says, there is an increasing concern within the administration and Congress over Iran's missile program. So now we get to the bottom of all this. This is to point out how we need to go in and attack Iran first. Congress over Iran's missile program, which has been determined by a commission of the U.S. scientists to pose a serious threat to U.S. security. A report first published with Joseph Ferris' G2 Bulletin, weekly online premium intelligence newsletter affiliated with the WorldNet Daily, revealed last week that Iran has been seriously considering an unconventional preemptive nuclear strike against the United States. An Iranian military journal publicly floated the idea, and why would they do this, one of our researchers asked, the idea of launching an electromagnetic pulse attack as a key to defeating the United States. An article titled Electronics to Determine Fate of Future Wars, the journal explains how EMP attack on America's electronic infrastructure caused by the detonation of a nuclear weapon high above the U.S. would bring the country to its knees. I just wonder what would happen. Let's suppose they knock everything out for a minute. There's a few people with guns here still. If they truly did, the Iranians, they truly did arrive en masse on boats and to invade us here. I wonder what in the world would really happen to the Iranian army after it got here. Anyway, just an aside, I know there'd be bloodshed. I know it wouldn't be pretty, but I think this article is really giving the Iranians a whole lot more credit than they deserve. Specifically designed to destroy America's internal infrastructure is the goal. In fact, I was over in Iran when I was about 10. My mother had worked. My mother, by the way, and I don't agree on much, but she was working for the United Nations, just FYI. And she hauled me along as the son to Iran, where she was doing some work with the World Health Organization. And I spent about 3 months there in Iran. What was interesting was one of my playmates and I would be out there doing something that kids normally do, just playing. And he spouted up one day. He says, I'm looking forward to the day that I can kill you. And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, someday I'm going to go to war against you in America, and I'll have the opportunity to shoot you. Well, that's nice, you know. And I went and told my mother about that. She kind of laughed it off. But there is a mentality over there wanting to murder Americans. They don't have a libertarian or liberty-minded perspective in Iran. There's no question in my mind about that. But whether or not he could really come over here and do it is quite another thing. Where would he land? On the shores of South Carolina, start his march up to Greenville? Imagine they wouldn't get too far. They might get some ways, but they wouldn't get too far before there would be some kind of defense. But at any rate, what is all this about? Continuing to read this article, a nuclear missile concealed in the hold of a freighter would give Iran or terrorists the capability to perform an EMP attack against the United States homeland without developing an ICBM and some prospect of remaining anonymous. So they're trying to to get rid of this argument that Iran could never do it by finding these different tramp boats that they could launch one of these things off of. No one can say just how long systems would be down. He said it could be weeks, months, or even years. The electromagnetic field pulses produced by weapons designed and deployed within the intent to produce EMP have a high likelihood of damaging electrical power systems, electronics, and information systems upon which any reasonably advanced society, most specifically including our own, depended vitally, Wood said. The effects on the systems would infrastructure dependent on electricity and electronics would be sufficiently ruinous as to qualify as catastrophic to the American nation. I would say that most of this is just a bunch of gibberish speculation designed to promote Bush's power, as WorldNet Daily often does. It's a pro-Republican plot to continue to pacify us as we have to spend billions and billions on Bush's war machine. Sure, there are people who would want to kill us and attack us. It's always the case in the world. But do we really need all the defense that we have? I don't think so. I think it's overkill, and I think they're always coming up with excuses for why they need to continue to exist and to continue to have the level of policy that they have. So don't be misled by these folks here at WorldNet Daily or anywhere else who might report things that are just there to pump up the Bush government system or any other government system here under the current regime tactics of the United States. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back briefly.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. Currently on this third day of May 2005, it's 53 degrees in Greenville, going to get up to 68 degrees under mostly sunny skies today. So as you're making your way out to work, you don't need to be prepared much at all. We're going to have just a real pleasant weather today, a little bit on the cool side maybe. I know my wife's always cold, and she needs to wear a coat even though it's 70 degrees, it seems. And maybe that's the case for you. But for me, it's going to be just a normal day and perhaps good weather all the way through the through today and maybe shortly thereafter, the rest of the week, we hope. We'll see. Well, at any rate, I have a couple of quotations that came up from that the people have sent us from our research department. One is from Benjamin Franklin, just to remind us Benjamin Franklin's words. They that can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. It's a great quote. You know, got to love Ben Franklin when he comes up with those kind of things. Also, May 10th. What is so special about May 10th? Well, it's the day that Stonewall Jackson died. Remember, Tuesday, this past Tuesday, May the 2nd, at 9 p.m. was the 142nd anniversary of the night Stonewall Jackson was wounded. 8 days later, on Sunday afternoon, May 10th, he would cross over the river and begin his eternal rest. In a day in which this country is such a mess and so desperately in need of a Christian leadership, political correctness would have us chastise rather than emulate a man of the character of Thomas Jonathan Jackson, simply because he was a Southern fighting man in the war for Southern independence. Shame on America for Jackson would point America into the right direction, back to the foot of the cross of Mount Calvary. Calvary. Thank you. And the one who died all, for all our sins. Appreciate that comment coming through today, as we do want to remember that Stonewall Jackson, 142 years ago, was wounded yesterday, and that he would eventually die on the 10th of May. Here's another comment from one of our researchers. The most offensive song ever written? A Memorial Day and Independence Day celebrations as they near. Prepare yourself to hear the most offensive song ever written. No, not some rap drone, but violence or about violence or perverted sex. Rather, the pseudo-Christian anthem known as the Battle Hymn of the Republic. The song occupies the most prominent position not only within the program of nearly every nationalistic celebration, but also as part of many Christian services. Admittedly, the anthem sounds good, but it's far from being a hymn. Many Christians understand its stirring words provide an image of a victorious church, but the connotations of spiritual patriotism, which have endeared it to many, result from a mistaken and cursory reading of the song. It's not like Luther's Mighty Fortress. It's talking about something entirely different. It was written in the fall of 1861 while in Washington, D.C., Julia Ward Howe. Couldn't get her middle name there. Mrs. Julia Ward Howe wrote this thing. Now, she was born into a prominent New York City family. She was raised in a conservative Christian home. Yet as a young woman, she rebelled against her parents' strong Calvinism and ultimately married Boston reformer Dr. Samuel Howe. She adopted the tenets of transcendentalism and Unitarianism, and it was in that light that the Battle Hymn was written. So the Battle Hymn of the Republic, not a Christian song. In fact, it's written by someone who opposes the Christian worldview, interestingly enough. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've had some people, looks like they're trying to call into the line. We'd like to encourage you to continue to try to do so. We're having some trouble with phone lines, so be aware of that, folks, when you're trying to get through this morning. We're going to come up to a quick break, and we come back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast. But we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back into Christian Worldview this morning. Glad you're listening to us. Very exciting show today. Lots of interesting topics. And on the line with us now, we have Nelson. Glad you called this morning, Nelson. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Doctor. Good morning, Doctor. Excellent show. Too many great, pithy topics to keep track of, as usual. But one does feel the need to comment on at least one. The noise we're hearing about Iran is, of course, typical of the way these conspirators operate. I've formulated a very simple rule for translating everything that these American powercrats say, whether it's to you or me or the people at large or a foreign country. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, by all means.
Yes, I think that if you simply take whatever comes out of their lips and rephrase it as, "We want your stuff, scum," it really makes a lot of sense. Everything they do and say instantly makes more sense than if you sit there and parse it and listen to the CBS News translate it for you after the presidential speech or whatever.
Yes, they want our stuff, you. That's you scum.
Yeah, they look at us as scum. I'm convinced that they hate us and they scorn us and consider us trash. And why shouldn't any society be considered as such that prostrates itself before their politicians just because of their political stripe or whatever? But I think that when they holler at Iran and say, you are in danger of threatening us. You are going to drop the bomb that you've been wanting to all these years. We've got to put a stop to this and save the world from you and your weapons of mass destruction. They're really telling Iran, we want your stuff, scum. Meaning they've got some oil there or some kind of power dynamics that America wants to staunch all over for its own intrinsic purposes. What do you think, Doc? Am I making any sense?
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head. You're right on the money. This is what foreign aggressive wars are all about. It's about getting other people's stuff. It's about spreading imperialism. It's about having no one be able to contest you anymore as being the world's superpower. It's about pride. It's about power. It's about money. The old vices that affected the kings of previous generations simply affect the American state today. You're completely right. But let me also ask you this, Nelson. Have you also heard people who have, as I have told me on many occasions, well, the difference about America is we vote for the military we have, or we vote for the kind of administration we have, and therefore it's right, it's good, we need to support it. Have you heard this kind of nonsense logic before?
Oh, yes, yes. They'll do anything. They'll throw up any little stupid-ass defense that they won't learn from their third-grade social studies teacher in order to keep from thinking and taking real responsibility for themselves and for the politicians they put in office. It's just overlooked from cliché to cliché. I don't want to be too hard on them. I think there's still a great deal of hope for the American sheeple, and that's what the TRN comes in. So keep up the good work, Doc, and have a great day.
Okay, thanks for the call, Nelson. Appreciate it very much. Yes, indeed. We are those who are trying to make the sheeple no longer sheeple. We're back to people, to bring them back to an understanding that's more biblical and more in line and congruent with the vision of the founding fathers, with a perspective of free markets and why a free market economy is far better than a socialist economy. These are some of our great our messages and themes here at the Christian Worldview program with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've been listening so far this morning. Well, here's a little bit more on conspiracy, this time from popularmechanics.com. One of our research staff has again found this dutiful volunteer staff who really enjoys reading the news and helping us find some great stories. This popularmechanics.com, the World Trade Center, again, remember I mentioned on the show some time ago that several people have made very strong cases for the Bush administration actually having something to do with the bombing of the World Trade Center. I won't have an opinion about this because I don't know, but I'm willing to listen to it, and I wouldn't be surprised, only because the greatest beneficiary of the World Trade Center attacks has been George W. Bush and the federal state. That is very clear that they have benefited more than anyone else throughout this whole calamity. Anyway, the collapse of both the World Trade Center towers and the smaller World Trade Tower 7 a few hours later initially surprised even some experts. But subsequent studies have shown that the World Trade Center's structural integrity was destroyed by intense fire as well as severe damage inflicted by the planes. That explanation has swayed conspiracy theorists who contend that all three buildings were wired with explosives in advance and raised in a series of controlled demolitions. Widespread damage. The claim, the first hijacked plane crashed through the 94th through the 98th floors of the World Trade Center's 110-story North Tower. The second slammed in the 78th to the 84th floors of the 10-story South Tower. The impact and ensuing fires disrupted elevator service in both buildings. Plus, the lobbies of both buildings were visibly damaged before the towers collapsed. There's no way the impact of the jet caused such widespread damage 80 stories below, claims posting the San Diego Independent Media Center website. It is obvious and irrefutable that other explosives, such as concussion bombs, had already been detonated in the lower levels of Tower 1 at the same time as the plane crashed. Fact, following up a May 2002 preliminary report of Federal Emergency Management Agency, a major study will be released in spring 2005 by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, a branch of the U.S. Department of Commerce. NIST shared its initial findings with Popular Mechanics and made its lead researcher available to our team of reporters. The NIST investigation revealed that plane debris sliced through the utility shafts in the North Tower's core, creating a conduit for burning jet fuel and fire destruction throughout the building. It's very hard to document where the fuel went, says Foreman Williams, a NIST advisor and combustion expert. But if it's atomized and combustible and gets into ignition source, it'll go off. Well, at any rate, their next claim is, "We've been lied to," announces the website attackonamerican.net. The first lie was that the load of fuel from the aircraft was the cause of structural failure. No kerosene fire can burn hot enough to melt steel. The posting is entitled "Proof of Controlled Demolition at the World Trade Center." Fact, jet fuel burns at 800 to 1500 degrees Fahrenheit. Not hot enough to melt steel, 2750 degrees. However, experts agree that for the towers to collapse, the steel frames did not need to melt. They just had to lose some of their structural strength, and that required exposure to much less heat. "I've never seen melted steel in a building fire," says retired New York Deputy Fire Chief Vincent Dunn, author of The Collapse of Burning Buildings, A Guide to Fire Ground Safety. But I've seen a lot of twisted, warped, and bent and sagging steel. What happens is the steel tries to expand at both ends, but when it can no longer expand, it sags and the surrounding concrete cracks. Steel loses about 50% of its strength at 1,100 degrees Fahrenheit, notes senior engineer Fond Atwa-Kind of the American Institute of Steel Construction. At 1,800 degrees, it's probably less than 10%. NIST also believes a great deal of the spray on fireproofing insulation was likely knocked off the steel beams that were in the path of the crashing jets, leaving the metal more vulnerable to the heat. But fuel wasn't the only thing burning, notes Foreman Williams, a professor of engineering at the University of California, San Diego, and one of the seven structural engineers and fire experts at Popular Mechanics consulted. He says that while the jet fuel was a catalyst for the World Trade Center fires, the resulting inferno was intensified by the combustible material inside the buildings, including rugs, curtains, furniture, and paper. NIST reports that pockets of the fire hit 1,832 degrees Fahrenheit. The jet fuel was the ignition source, Williams tells Popular Mechanics. It burned for maybe 10 minutes, and the towers were still standing in 10 minutes. It was the rest of the stuff burning after that was responsible for the heat transfer that eventually brought them down. There were some explosive devices inside the buildings that caused the towers to collapse, says some. Puffs of dust. Once each tower collapsed, clearly visible puffs of dust and debris were ejected from the sides of the building. An advertisement in the New York Times for the book Painful Questions Analysis of September 11th Attack made this claim. The concrete clouds shooting out from the buildings are not possible from near collapse. They do occur from explosions. Okay, so were they explosions? Fact, the popular mechanic says. Once each tower began to collapse, the weight of all the floors above collapsed zone bore down on pulverizing force on the highest intact floor. Unable to absorb the massive energy, that would fail through transmitting forces to the floor below, allowing the collapse to progress downward through a building in the chain reaction. That pancaking effect is what we saw, they say. Like all office buildings, the World Trade Center towers contained huge volume of air. As they pancaked, all that air, along with the concrete and other debris pulverized by the force of the collapse, was ejected with enormous energy, and that's what you saw. So there weren't explosions going down. Now, this has got to be raising the ire of conspiracy theorists. There must be someone who can call and defend the vision of the conspirators here. Popular Mechanics is saying it's all explainable. There was enough heat not to completely melt the steel, but to get it hot enough to bend and cause collapses. And the pulverizing effect of the collapse was what you saw, the little bursts of air puffing out from the side. There weren't other explosions going off. So at any rate, let's hear what the conspirators have to say about this. There are some good people, even associated with TRN, who think that George W. Bush was responsible for bringing down the buildings and his cronies as well were helping. If that's the case, we want to talk about it here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. We're going to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. Also wanted to let you know that on Tuesday, May 10th, 2005, a special Confederate Memorial Day ceremony will be conducted on the campus of Clemson University. Please tell everyone you can to come out in observance of this day to honor our Confederate ancestors who paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of their families and beloved Southland. The service will be held at Tillman Hall, 10 o'clock in the morning on May 10th, 2005, and all are invited to attend. So we want to encourage you to do that from the Christian worldview perspective also. Good to learn about Southern heritage. Well, we have a caller on the line. Brad, we're glad you've joined us here at Christian Worldview this morning. Hope you're enjoying listening to the program this morning.
I sure am, John. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Just wanted to make one quick comment. You were talking about 911 and the World Trade Center and the conspiracy theories. I'd just like to add one quick thing that that was missing from that story, and that was Building 7, which was nowhere near the World Trade Centers, which went down a few hours after the collapse of the first two towers, and went down in the exact same manner. I'd have to agree with the structural engineer that you talked with. I guess it was last week you mentioned that, and those buildings, I've taken enough college physics to understand myself that those buildings collapsed faster than free fall or the pull of gravity, so it was obviously, to me, a demolition that brought those buildings down.
Well, that's fascinating. I'm glad you're bringing this up, because now the guy had said before, and something I didn't know about, I'm just learning here about these sorts of things, but the number 7 building was like a whole building away from the World Trade Center, and the building between the World Trade Center and it was basically unscathed. It's still standing, it's structurally intact. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I challenge anybody out there to just to spend an hour researching this stuff. I think they've been, you know, the current administration, I think they've been caught up one side and down the other on every issue pertaining to 911. It's all a mess. They've just been, they've lied to us. That's the bottom line.
Okay, so you think George Bush actually did plan all of this stuff so that and there's evidence that it's pretty clear the United States government was the one who brought down the World Trade Center. Why would they do that?
Well, let's see. We got Patriot Act 1 passed. We got Patriot Act 2 passed. We got a war in Iraq. The list goes on and on. You know, follow the money. Who stands to gain? Obviously not the terrorists. It's, whip the people into a frenzy and get your laws passed and strip away freedom.
Well, those are pretty good reasons. I have to admit, those are things that actually have occurred. We have lost liberty tremendously as a result of this attack. And that's why I said before, all I can tell from an economics position, the greatest beneficiary of the World Trade Center attacks has been the federal government, the federal state, which has far, far more power, and we have far fewer rights now. It's had all sorts of economic benefits and power benefits that has accrued to it as a result of this attack. And even though I can't speak to the physics or the science as you can, I can certainly look at the other side and say there has to be a question raised. I would really like to find some more folks who can call in and give us some engineering aspects that can counter, maybe you can, Brad, some of these things mentioned in Popular Mechanics. Obviously, they're trying to defend the idea of the heat. Do you think it was hot enough to melt the steel enough to collapse those buildings?
No, not at all. Jet fuel burns. I think it burns at about 1,200 degrees, and I don't remember exactly what the number is. But I mean, the steel that was holding that up. I think the melting point of that is like 5,000 degrees.
Well, it's said in this article, Brad, that the jet fuel burns from 800 to 1,500 degrees, and that steel melts at 2,750. But that at 1,400 degrees, it loses half of its integrity, and by 1,800 degrees, only 10% of its strength for holding up buildings and so forth is there. So it won't actually melt; it'll just bend enough so that everything will fall in. Do you think that's plausible?
Okay. I'll agree with that. But if you watch the way those buildings fell in such a uniform fashion, a melting of steel, there's no way it would have crumbled like that.
Okay, this is a very interesting subject. I'll tell you what, we hopefully have other callers who can call back and talk to us about the World Trade Center issue, because I think that's a fascinating issue to bring up. We appreciate the call, Brad. We've only got one minute or so left on the Christian Worldview program. Do you have one last thing you want to add, or if not, maybe we can carry this on another day?
Maybe we'll carry it on another day. I'd just like to add really quick, David Shippers, the gentleman who was the impeachment lawyer for Bill Clinton, he also came forward and said he had stacks of evidence that he tried to get to John Ashcroft before 9/11, and he was ignored. Yeah. And he was all over radio trying to get that information out. I don't know what happened with him.
Yeah, well, who knows?
It's another smoking gun.
Yeah, there's a lot of suspicious activity here. I wouldn't put anything past the federal government. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if this is all completely true. Anyway, we appreciate the call, Brad. Look forward to talking about this more in the future. Thanks for calling Christian Worldview this morning. We've come up against the end of our show today, folks. We're glad you've joined us at Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Hope we've made your day a little brighter and we've made your day a little deeper in terms of thinking about things you don't normally hear. Where else do you hear a radio station or a show talking about things like the benefits of anarchy over Stalinism or even over George Bushism, the possibility that the federal government was complicit in the destruction of the World Trade Center towers? This is interesting stuff to think about. You might think, well, just wacky stuff, kooky stuff, or is it really? Well, there may be more than meets the eye, folks. There may be more there that you need to digest and think about before you jump to that conclusion. Been listening to your TV set too long, you won't buy it, I'm sure. You won't believe anything that could be different than what the talking heads give you, but we're here to provide that alternative for you. You've been listening again to Christian Worldview with John Coben. We look forward to having you again tomorrow for another great edition of Christian Worldview Today. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.